Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. This is, we're going through the book of Zechariah. We got all the way to chapter 11. And we're going to jump in right there at chapter 11. Zechariah chapter 11, verse 1. Open thy doors, O Lebanon, that the fire may devour thy cedars. Howl, fir tree, for the cedar is fallen, because the mighty are spoiled. Howl, O ye oaks of Bashan, for the force of the vintage is come down. There's a voice of the howling of the shepherds, for their glory is spoiled. A voice of the roaring of the young lions, for the pride of Jordan is spoiled. In a figurative expressions that destruction of Jerusalem and of the Jewish church and nation is foretold, which our Lord Jesus, when the time was at hand, prophesied plainly and expressly. How can the fir tree stand if the cedars fall? The falls of the wise and good into sin, and the falls of the rich and great into trouble, are loud alarms to those every way their inferiors. It is sad with a people when those who should be as shepherds to them are as young lions. The pride of Jordan was the thickets on the banks. And when the river overflowed the banks, the lions came up from them roaring. Thus the doom of Jerusalem may alarm other churches. And that's fairly concise there. Sometimes I don't like to get into the regular commentary because it seems too long. But I think to start out this, I think we'll run out of time if I do that. Well, let's see if we can jump into this for ourselves. Okay. Thus saith the Lord my God, feed the flock of the slaughter, whose possessors slay them and hold themselves not guilty. And they that sell them say, blessed be the Lord, for I am rich, and their own shepherds pity them not. For I will no more pity the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord, but lo, I will deliver the men every one to his neighbor's hand, and into the hand of his king, and they shall smite the land, and out of their hand I will not deliver them, and I will feed the flock of slaughter, even you, O poor of the flock. And I took unto me two staves, the one I called beauty, and the other I called bands, and I fed the flock. Three shepherds also I cut off in 1 month, and my soul loathed them, and their soul abhorred me. Then said I will not feed you. That dieth, let it die, and that is to be cut off, let it be cut off, and let the rest eat every one the flesh of another. And I took my staff, even beauty, and cut it asunder, that I might break my covenant which I had made with all the people. And it was broken in that day. And so the poor of the flock that waited upon me knew that it was the word of the Lord. And I said unto them, if ye think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said, come unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price that I was prized at of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. Then I cut asunder my other staff, even bands, that it might break the brotherhood between Judah and Israel. Christ came into this world for judgment to the Jewish church and nation, which were wretchedly corrupt and degenerate. Those have their minds woefully blinded who do ill and justify themselves in it. But God will not hold those guiltless who hold themselves so. How can we go to God to beg a blessing on unlawful methods of getting wealth, or to return thanks for success in them? There was a general decay of religion among them, and they regarded it not. The good shepherd would feed his flock, but his attention would chiefly be directed to the poor. As an emblem, the prophet seems to have taken two staves. Beauty denoted the privileges of the Jewish nation in their national covenant. The other, called bands, denoting the harmony which hitherto united them as the flock of God. But they chose to cleave to false teachers. The carnal mind and the friendship of the world are enmity to God, and God hates all the workers of iniquity. It is easy to foresee what this will end in. The prophet demanded wages or reward and received 30 pieces of silver. By divine direction, he cast it to the potter as in disdain for the smallness of the sum. This shadowed forth the bargain of Judas to betray Christ and the final method of applying it. Nothing ruins a people so certainly as weakening the brotherhood among them. This follows the dissolving of the covenant between God and them. When sin abounds, love waxes cold, and civil contests follow. No wonder if those fall out among themselves who have provoked God to fall out with them. Willful contempt of Christ is the great cause of men's ruin. And if professors rightly valued Christ, they would not contend about little matters. Zechariah 11:15. And the Lord said unto me, take unto thee yet the instruments of a foolish shepherd. For lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land, which shall not visit those that be cut off, neither shall seek the young one, nor heal that is broken, nor feed that standeth still. But he shall eat the flesh of the fat, and tear their claws into pieces. Woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. The sword shall be upon his arm, and his right eye. His arm shall be clean dried up, and his right eye be utterly darkened. God, having showed the misery of this people in their being justly left by the good shepherd, shows their further misery in being abused by foolish shepherds. The description suits the character Christ gives of the scribes and Pharisees. They never do anything to support the weak or comfort the feeble-minded, but seek their own ease while they are barbarous to the flock. The idle shepherd has the garb and appearance of a shepherd, receives submission, and is supported at much expense, but he leaves the flock to perish through neglect or leads them to ruin by his example. This suits many in different churches and nations, but the warning had an awful fulfillment in the Jewish teachers. And while such deceive others to their ruin, they will themselves have the deepest condemnation. Zechariah 12, verse 1. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens, and layeth the foundation of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. In that day, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse with astonishment, and his rider with madness, and I will open mine eyes upon the house of Judah, and will smite every horse of the people with blindness. And the governors of Judah will say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my strength, in the Lord of hosts their God. In that day I will make the governors of Judah like an hearth of fire among the wood, and like a torch of fire in a sheaf, and they shall devour all the people round about, on the right hand and on the left. And Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem. The Lord also shall save the tents of Judah first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Judah. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, and the angel of the Lord before them. So it gets a little cryptic there toward the end of this portion here. Let's see what our good friend Matthew Henry has to say, how he can enlighten us on this. Here is a divine prediction, which will be a heavy burden to all the enemies of the church. But it is for Israel, for their comfort and benefit. It is promised that God will make foolish the counsels and weaken the courage of the enemies of the church. The exact meaning is not clear, but God often begins by calling the poor and despised, and in that day even the feeblest will resemble David and be as eminent in courage and everything good. Desirable indeed it is that the examples and labors of Christians should render them fire among the wood, as a torch in the sheath, to kindle the flame of divine love, to spread religion on the right hand and the left. And I was hoping to get a little more about this here in the beginning. This scripture here, "Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling to all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and Jerusalem." Now, I see a lot in the futurist interpretation of prophecy that they use this, even today, that Jerusalem is a cup of trembling to all the people round about. But here, I think we're giving a time when this is applicable too. It says, when they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and Jerusalem. And historically, this was, of course, a prophecy about the future from the time that it was given by Zechariah. The people are going to return to the land. And of course, as we saw in the previous chapter, we have some messianic prophecy given. And this is what goes beyond the messianic prophecy, and we're looking at about 70 AD. So does this apply today, or does it apply to 70 AD, when they shall be in a siege both against Judah and Jerusalem? And this was fulfilled. The siege was against Judah and Jerusalem about 70 AD and the time leading up to the total desolation. And this was foretold by Jesus once again during his earthly ministry. He warned his disciples of what was coming, and certainly it came. Now, there was a prior siege. Of course, Babylon sieged the city and overtook it, which led to where Zechariah and Israel was at the time that Zechariah was writing, during the 70 years desolation. So we see in Zechariah so forth, an exhortation for the children of Israel not to commit the same sins that their fathers committed, which led to their captivity, and then a restoration of Israel to the land of Judah and Jerusalem. And for 500 years, they would enjoy that restoration for the most part. And then we see now the prophecy of about the time the Messiah returns and what would result when they rejected their Messiah by the siege once again of both Judah and Jerusalem. And Jesus' words were that they will take you captive or kill you. They would sell you as slaves into the nations, and those that did not die by the sword in Judah. And of course, we're speaking of the Romans leading up to 70 AD and what happened there with the desolation. Those that were not killed by the sword would be taken captive and sold and dispersed among the nations, and that of the Jews. Of course, God's people, the spiritual Israel, early Christians, they all obeyed the word of the Lord. They obeyed the word of the prophets, and they fled Israel and Judah, selling their properties and having all things in common. We read about at one instance But in one way or another, they were obedient to the words of the Messiah, and they left the land before the desolation came. Let us continue here in Zechariah. Zechariah, chapter 12, verse 9. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Obvious references to the Messiah here. In that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of Hadad-Rimmon in the valley of Megiddon. And the land shall mourn, every family apart, the family of the house of David apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Levi apart, and their wives apart, and the family of Shimei apart, and their wives apart, all the families that remain, every family apart, and their wives apart. The day here spoken of is the day of Jerusalem's defense and deliverance, that glorious day when God will appear for the salvation of his people. In Christ's first coming, he bruised the serpent's head and broke all the powers of darkness that fought against God's kingdom among men. In his second coming, he will complete their destruction when he shall put down all opposing rule, principality, and power, and death itself shall be swallowed up in that victory. The Holy Spirit is gracious and merciful, and is the author of all grace or holiness. He also is the spirit of supplications, and shows men their ignorance, want, guilt, misery, and danger. At the time here foretold, the Jews will know who the crucified Jesus was. Then they shall look by faith to him and mourn with the deepest sorrow, not only in public, but in private, even each one separately. There is a holy mourning, the effect of the pouring out of the Spirit, a mourning for sin, which quickens faith in Christ and qualifies for joy in God. This mourning is a fruit of the Spirit of grace, a proof of a work of grace in the soul, and of the spirit of supplications. It is fulfilled in all who sorrow for sin after a godly sort. They look to Christ crucified and mourn for him. Looking by faith upon the cross of Christ will cause us to mourn for sin after a godly sort. Okay, we're about to go into a break here. You're listening to Cross the Border. We're going through the prophecy, the minor prophet, and one named Zechariah. And we're leaning heavily upon Matthew Henry. And I suggest that all utilize the commentaries of Matthew Henry when they get to cryptic or difficult portions of the scripture. Much of this, as we get to the messianic period, is self-explanatory. But Matthew Henry does a good job of sorting it out for us, especially in that last chapter, chapter 12 there. Total agreement there. So you're listening to Cross the Border. My website is crosstheborder.org. Go to my website and be sure to subscribe there. And while you're there, there's a free ebook tab. Make sure you click on that and you get a copy of The Rapture Will Be Canceled. And while you're there, also made available at the same time, will be The Last Prophecy. And that is the revelation according to E.B. Eliot's Hori Apocalypticae. And so you get a free copy of that. Both of these available for absolutely no cost. Just follow the instructions there and at crossborder.org. Click on the free ebook tab and subscribe and leave a comment. And we'll make sure that you get those as soon as you complete your subscription. Okay, when we get back, we're going to jump into chapter 13 and 14 of Zechariah and close this study.